Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we started a topic that continues to the Gemara we're holding by right now at the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. So in order to be able to get into the sugya, it's important for us to review what happened. There was an incident that was featured on Nun Zayin Amud Beis toward the end of a Gentile that entered a Jewish store and inquired as to whether there was any wine for sale. There had been a basin of wine on the counter of that store, and the Gentile, after being told that there was no wine for sale, he put his hand into this basin and splashed around in the basin, splashed around with his hand the wine in the basin, and asked, is this not wine? The Jewish owner then took the basin of wine, and in wrath, he poured it into one of his barrels of wine. So that in effect, you have a mixture now of wine that was handled by the Gentile, and now mixed in with a barrel of kosher wine. Rava ruled leniently and said that wine could be sold, the wine in the barrel could be sold to Gentiles. In other words, maybe one cannot drink the wine, however, one can still benefit from it. It's mutar b'hano. Rav Huna, there were two Rav Hunas, Rav Huna bar Chinino and Rav Huna Breder of Nachman, ruled stringently and said it's osur b'hano, it cannot be sold. We also noted, when we were learning the Gemara on Nun Zayim Abeis, that Rava's opinion of leniency will be subject to change based on kashis, questions that Abaye poses to Rava, that will be seen in today's Gemara on Daf Nun Ches. We have a rather unusual structure to contend with right now, and our explanation will be based on that which one finds in Rashi. We have a bracketed section at the top of Nun Ches Omen Aleph. The length of this bracketed section can be seen by the length marker that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash dotted line. It's a 7-line bracketed section. This section chronologically takes place after the Gemara that is found after the brackets. At this point, let us pursue the Gemara in its chronological fashion. Meaning, we will pick up the Gemara not from the top, even though that's where we're holding. We'll pick up the Gemara from the section right after the brackets, where the Gemara says Omar Rava. We also have a long point. There's a nun that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text from the 7th line onwards, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara that follow this circled nun with the vertical dashed line, all of these form a particular point. After we do this section of Gemara, we'll then go back to the bracketed section on the top. Before we actually learn the Gemara, what will take place is as follows. Rava ruled at the bottom of Nun Zayin that the mixture of the wine in the basin and the barrel, results in one being allowed to sell the wine in the barrel and benefit from the money. Abaye will present questions to Rava. That's the section of Gemara that follows the bracketed section. As a result of the questions that are presented to Rava, Rava is forced to change his position. after Rava is convinced or is forced into this situation where he has to change his position, the rabbis that disagreed with him show up. They come to Mechuza, the town that Rava is located in, and Rava wants to avoid contact with them because, after all is said and done, their original position of stringency is really the correct approach. And Rava, having to have forced his position, seems to be uncomfortable with meeting them. Rashi points this out in his commentary that Rava was embarrassed. So that's what appears at the top of Nun Ches. So once again, this Gemara is the Gemara as it is has to be, let's say, presented for our purposes. We will be presenting it in a chronological fashion. So once again, Rava ruled that the wine in that barrel, after the wine in the basin was mixed with the kosher wine in the barrel, the wine is mutter b'hano. We're picking up now on Nun Ches Omer Aleph, after the bracket, seven lines from the top. Omer Rava, ki asoi lepubadisa, when I came to Pubadisa, akfon nachmeni shmaitzu masnisa de osir. Abaye then asked on me, literally he surrounded me with questions from Amoraic statements, Shmaitza, that's Aleph, and Masnisa with a Tanaic source that demonstrated to the contrary of the way I had ruled, and to forbid all of the wine in the barrel. So let's read that again. Omar Rava, ki asoy lepubadisa, akfon nachmeni. Nachmeni is a reference to Abaye. Shmaitza umasnisa, Tanaic, Amoraic statements, and Tanaic literature, the osir, that would indicate that the wine in the barrel is forbidden. Shmaitza, an Amoraic source, Amoraic teaching, and with our markings we've also featured with a double underline the expressions Shmaitza and Masnisa. Shmaitza, dehahu uvdo dehava ben Nahardo, there was an incident in Nahardo for Osar Shmuel, an incident like the incident we mentioned before, where wine that was where a Gentile had contact with some wine in a basin, and the wine was then subsequently mixed with kosher wine in a barrel, and Shmuel ruled stringently. But Tveria, a maisa happened similarly in Tveria, the Osar Rabbi Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan ruled stringently. V'amri lei, and I said to Abaye, this is Rava speaking, he says, I said to Abaye, l'fi she'enon b'nei Torah, the stringent ruling in Nahardo and in Tveria was because they weren't careful people, they were not b'nei Torah, they were not communities of Torah scholars. V'omar li, and Abaye responded to me in amazement. He said, "Tveria Nahardo Einon Bnei Torah de Mechuza Bnei Torah." The towns of Tveria and Nahardo, according to you, they are not Torah scholar communities, and your town of Mechuza is. That's far fetched. In other words, it's probably worth assuming that Tveria and Nahardo were on a higher plane of observance than Rava's town of Mechuza. And if Rava is willing to be lenient in a lesser community, then all the more so in a more stringent community, a more religious community, there should have been leniency. And yet we see that in these higher level communities there was restriction practice. So all the more so in a less religious community should there be more restriction imposed. So at this point, from the Shmaitzah, we see that Rava's position is severely weakened. In other words, Rava's ruling of leniency is not in accordance with what we saw in Naharda and Taveria. Masnisa, we have a Tanaic source. The Agardamin Oive Kechovim. Rashi explains an Agardamin is an official that's appointed to by the king to make sure that weights and measures are maintained accurately. And he also tastes wine to assure the quality. Rashi, you can see, it says, Agardamin, Odom Hamemuna Lishmor Hamidos V'mitzvus HaMelech Shelo Yishakru Bohem. He's a person that's appointed by the king to ensure measures that vendors should not lie concerning those matters. V'toyeim Hayayin. He also tastes the wine. V'nasis Sirsur Beneim. And he serves as an intermediary between them. So you have an official, this Agardamin, who is a Gentile, Ovei Kuchavim, Shekodach B'meinekes, he inserts a tube, he makes a hole in the seal of a barrel, and through the hole that he made in the clay seal of a barrel, of a wine barrel, he inserts a tube, and then sucks on this tube, he draws up the wine through the tube, till it reaches his mouth and he is able to taste it. Very simply, he inserts a straw into a barrel. So bekodach means he makes a hole, the meinekes, this is a reference to the straw or the tube, the behelo, and he then raises the wine by sucking on the tube, o shetoyam min hakois v'chzir l'chavis, or he tastes the wine by drinking from a cup, and he then this Gentile then throws the wine from his cup back into the barrel. Zehoya Maisa v'osruhu. An incident like this took place, and they ruled that the wine is forbidden. My lav behano. Is it not to be assumed that the wine prohibition is even to benefit from it? Not only a prohibition of drinking it, but even to sell it, which would be counter to Rava's ruling. Lo b'shtia, the prohibition here is only as far as drinking. Well, ihachi, if the prohibition is limited, namely only to drinking, but one is allowed to sell it, then lisni yimocher kidiktani seifa. Then the source should have taught, instead of asru, it should have said yimocher, let it be sold, like it teaches in the final section of that source. And here it is. This is the framed section as the seifa of the same source. Charom oivei kechovim. Charom is a tough guy. Rashi calls him Meshuga, an insane individual who is capable of creating strife, and he does things without thinking. So we have a Charom oivei kechovim, shehoshit yodo lechovis. He cast his hand into a barrel, the kasavur shel shemenhi, the nimsis shel yayin. He thought it was oil, and it turned out to be wine. Zehoya maisa, an incident like this took place, involving this Gentile mishuga, the amru yimocher, and they ruled, let it be sold. Since he thought it was oil, there is no reason to rule any stricter, to make a gzera, thinking in anticipation that maybe he thought it was wine. This, by the way, is in contrast, Rashi points out, to the case before where the Gentile official knew it was wine. Here he didn't know it was wine, and the ruling here is yimocher. So if you see in the same source, the term yimocher is used when it wants to tell you that you are allowed to sell it. Why in the resha did it say v'osruhu? So it indicates that where he knew it was wine, where the Gentile knew it was wine, that result, and he had contact with it, that results in it being forbidden even for benefit. Tiufta de Rava, this constitutes a contradiction to Rava's ruling of leniency, tiufta. Then this is certainly a repudiation of Rava. At this point, we go back to the bracketed section. We have a little star to indicate that. You can see on the inside margin, we've written in Kan Mitrachesh HaKeta Shebesugrayim B'Rosh HaOmud. At this point now, there takes place the section of Gemara that is at the top of the Omud. So let's go back now to the top of the Omud. After Rava has been repudiated by Abaye and his presentation of the Shmaisa and the Masnisa, those two sections of Gemara that you see the double underlined words, we concluded this long point which results in Rava's being repudiated. We turn to the top. Ikla Rav Huna Braid Rav Nachman Lemuhuza. Rav Huna Braid Rav Nachman was one of those that forbade the wine in the barrel, after it was mixed with the wine that the Gentile had contact with, that had in the basin that was poured then into this barrel. Rav Huna, as we said, who was restrictive, he comes to the Mechuzah. Mechuzah is Rava's town. We saw a reference to Mechuzah in the Gemara later on that we already learned. You can see that we've included a little star on the side, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, that draws your attention to Mechuzah. Mechuzah was Rava's town. Omale Rava, the Rav Yochim Shamei. Rava tells his Rav Yochim, his servant. Shamei is like Shamosh Shelo, his servant, his helper. Trok goli, lock the door. The lo lacy inshi the nitrit, so that he the man shouldn't come in and upset me. Apparently, a reference to his desire to keep Rav Huna out of the house. Ol legabe, Rav Huna approached the Rava's house. And Rav Huna asked, Ki hai gavna mai? What's the story like this case? Namely, where a goy, a Gentile, an idol worshiper, stirs the Jewish wine, the kosher wine, without nisuch intent, without idolatrous intent. What is your ruling on such wine? Omar le, osur afilu bahano. So Rava says, well, it's forbidden totally. You can see here that Rava is taking an approach very different than what he had said on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. And this approach is certainly a result of what was proven to him by the Gemara that we see, that we read already, that we learned already, as a result of Abaye's questions to him. So Rava here is now making that turnaround and saying, well, it's forbidden even Bahana. Question. So Rav Huna asks Rava in return. He says, "V'omar hu d'omar," but you have been known to say, "Shichshech ein oisa yayin nesech." Rashi points out because, well, you allowed it to be sold to Gentiles, so that indicates that shichshech, the stirring, doesn't make it into yayin nesech. So Rava answers sort of a fabricated answer. He says, "Emar d'amri ano." Labar midome dahu chamra. I said that it doesn't make yayin esach. That is true with the exception with regard to the value of the wine other than the wine that was in the basin. However, dame dahu chamra, the value of the wine that was in the basin that he stirred, mi amri, did I say that that is ein osa yayin esach? No, that is yayin esach. Rava was trying to tell him with this fabricated answer, he says that, of course, the wine that he stirred with his hand, that wine, the wine in the basin, loses all value because it becomes Yayin Esach, and hence it is forbidden Behano. And if you're quoting to me that I allowed the wine to be sold, that's a reference to the value of the rest of the barrel, except for the value of the wine in the basin that was added. Let's take a look at Rashi. Demei dahu chamra. Dehave bedavla. The value of the wine that was in that basin that was stirred by the Gentile. Mi amrinon. Did I say that that's not yayin esach? Modin obey, I agree with regard to that, that tzorch lehoylich dom of liyam ha-melach, that any value, any money fetched as a result of the sale of that quantity of wine, that money has to be brought to the Dead Sea. The domi shar hayayin shebechov es muter, the value of the rest of the wine in that barrel, that money, that would be allowed. However, umishum kisufa ko'amar, he said that only as a result of his being embarrassed. He tried to wiggle his way out of the confrontation. Avol ihu kulei shori. But in truth, Rava originally allowed the entire value of the barrel to be sold. Of course, at the end of the day, it seems that the entire barrel value is really to be forbidden. And that we can see we saw pretty clearly in the source that was presented under the Masnisa section of Gemara, in the middle of the Omid, we have a double underlined Masnisa, where there was a cup of wine that the Gentile official had tasted, and then the wine was thrown back into the barrel, and the entire barrel was ruled to be forbidden. We now continue with the Gemara at the next diamond, the lower part of the page. You can see seven lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yochanan ben Arza. Before we go further, let's take advantage of the note that we have in the outside margin. The note says, Maisa be'odom huzmon al yedei rabbonim lishtois yayin. There was an incident involving a man that was shehuzmon al yedei rabbonim lishtois yayin. A man was invited to drink some, invited by rabbis to drink wine with them, umilei esakois, and he filled up a cup of wine. The igloi milsa the hoya goyan. It then became. It was then revealed that the man that they invited to sit with them was in fact a Gentile. Rabbi Yochanan ben Arza, Rabbi Yosi ben Hiroi, havu yasvu v'koshosu chamra. These two rabbis were sitting and drinking wine. Also gavro, a man came along. Omrulei, the rabbis said to him, to ashkinon, come and drink with us. Lebosser de Roma. Lekosa, after he filled up his cup, igloi milso de oved kichavimu. It then became revealed that he was a Gentile. Chad osar afilu bahano. One of the rabbis ruled that the wine is forbidden, even for sale, even to benefit from. Vachad shori afilu b'shtia, and one allowed the wine to be. To be drunk, to even to be drunk. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, man de osar shapir osar. The opinion that said it's forbidden had good reason for holding that way. Uman de shori shapir shori, and the one who ruled that it's permissible has good reason to rule that it's allowed. The Gemara now goes over these shitas, man de osar, meimar omar, the opinion that holds the wine to be forbidden, he figures. Meimar omar means that the Gentile in his mind was figuring as follows. Salko daite de rabbonon kihani shichru koshosu. Could it possibly be? Would one think that rabbis of their distinction would be drinking beer? Apparently, you see from this Gemara that beer was a drink that would be unusual for rabbis of eminent status to be imbibing. So he says, if they invited me to sit and drink with them, could it be that they were drinking beer? Of course not. Elavadai hai chamra hu. It certainly is that they were drinking wine, which is characteristic of the upper class. The Naske, and he certainly stirred it. He certainly shook the wine as a method of serving his idol. Let's take a look at Rashi on the top line. He says, "Salka daite de rabbonon chashivi ki hani shosu shichra." Could it possibly be that rabbis of great distinction like these would be drinking beer? Bitmiha, with wonderment, you read that. Elavadei chamra, who certainly they were drinking wine, and they invited me. And he did an action of stirring the wine to his idol. The afagab the mukminon the moirik aruki, even though we set up this case of his having done a quick pouring, even though we set it up as he did a quick pouring of the wine, nevertheless we're choshesh, we take into consideration that maybe he touched it, v'nosach, and thereby did the nisuch, the stirring for the idol. The anan hu d'lo ramina nadaitin, and we simply didn't pay attention lemechsi to see that he did this, that he actually touched it. Why did we not pay attention to Bisrael have a machzikin on lev? Because we thought he was Jewish, so we didn't pay close attention. The Gemara continues, Ma'an Deshori, the opinion that held that the wine, that the remaining wine in the pitcher would be mutter, Shapir Shori. There's good reason for holding this lenient opinion. Meimar Omar, the Goy would certainly have figured, Salko Daifdoch, the Rabbonan Kihani. Would it possibly be that Rabbonin like these, Chamro Koshosu V'Omale L'Didi To Ashkinon, that they would be drinking wine and invite me, the Gentile, to drink with them? If they're inviting me, and this Gentile thinks that the rabbis knew his identity as a Gentile, if they are inviting me, Elavadai Shichro Hu Koshosu, They are definitely drinking beer, and they're inviting me to pour myself a cup of beer. Velonaske, and since it's beer, there would be no reason for him to do this, to do nisuch, the act of pouring or stirring wine for an idol. Idols were worshipped only with wine, not with beer. The Gemara asks, well, as far as the details of the story are concerned, v'hol kochosi, doesn't he see that it's wine? How can you say that this Gentile thought it was beer? Doesn't he see it's wine? So his answer is Balela. We're talking something at night where there was very poor lighting. V'ha ka morachle, but does he not smell it? Does he not sense through the smell that it's wine? How could he think that it's beer? Answer Bechadeto. We're talking about new wine where it hasn't been fermented. And hence it doesn't create a scent of wine. So he thought it was beer. V'ho ko noga be benatlo, v'havi le maga oivet kichovim shelo bekavona v'osur. In order to pour himself a cup of wine, did he not take a natlo, a cup, and immerse the cup in the barrel of wine, and that would be considered maga Oyve kichovim shelo bekavona, contact of the Gentile contact with the wine in the barrel, without intent. In other words, even if he thought it was beer, still there was contact with the wine in the barrel as he was immersing the cup. And though it was without nisuch intent, nevertheless it should be forbidden. Let us take a look at the Rashi. The thinking is that he drew the wine from the barrel with a vessel called natla. We'll call it a cup. And the Gemara asks, he had contact with the wine through the cup. Unehi nami delo yoda de chamra hu. Granted, he didn't know it was wine. Havilei maga shelo bekavona. The osir, there still is this contact without intent, and that should be forbidden. So how can this opinion hold that the wine, the remaining wine, is allowed? The Gemara answers, lo tzricha, deka moirik aruki. The case here did not involve his immersing the cup in the barrel of wine, but rather he was pouring out from the wine container into his cup. And that action of pouring out, vavile koichoi shaloi bekavona, that's called his force without intent. And force without intent, the rabbis did not impose restrictions on that. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Umeshani deka moirik aroki, vahavile koichei shelo bekavona. He didn't actually immerse the cup in the wine, which would have been considered his direct contact with the wine, but rather it's a somewhat removed contact. Namely, it's called force. It's called kocho, and without intent. Shelo yoda shuyan. He didn't know that it was wine. We set up the case. It was dark. It was unscented. It was new wine. The kocho shelo b'kavona lo gozur afilu b'shtia. And this type of involvement with the wine, kocho shelo b'kavona, the rabbis did not feel there's any need to impose any restrictions, even as far as drinking. With our markings, we've underlined two important expressions, two categories that are relevant to these halachas. The first one was maga oive shkoyim shelo bekavona, and the second one koichu shelo bekavona. And as we said, the immersing of the cup into the barrel of wine, into the beverage itself, would have constituted contact without kavona, and direct contact with the substance, that is a greater reason for stringency than the issue of kocho being a bit less severe, just a mere force and not direct contact. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new case, a new situation. Bo mine, Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. Yayin shemoschoi oive kechovim mahu. Rav Asi asks Rav Yochanan, wine that is diluted by a Gentile, what is its status? Wine, as such, when it's made, initially is very strong, and in order to make it more palatable and drinkable, water is added to it to make it better. So, in this case, we have a Gentile that poured the water into the wine, into the kosher wine, and we want to know what's the halacha with regard to this. If we skip the bracketed section momentarily, we see Rabbi Yochanan responds and says, Omalei, Osir. Even though the Gentile didn't have actual contact with the wine, the Rabbonin imposed a restriction because there was a force involved. It's called kocho, and kocho meaning the Gentile's force was, let's say, felt with regard to the wine. The Rabbonin impose a restriction, and the Gemara goes on to say, Mishum lech lech amrin nazira, schor schor lekarma lo tikra. This is an expression that is associated with a rabbinic restriction, to distance one from an actual problem. Literally, this has to do with we warn a nazir, we tell the nazir, nazira is a nazir, he's someone who's prohibited from drink, he takes upon himself an oath not to drink wine or consume wine or vine products. We tell him, lech lech, go, we say to the nazir. Schor sor means walk about, round about the kerem, the vineyard, don't draw near to it. It's an expression indicating distancing. We have a little piece of Gemara that we skipped. Within the bracketed section, we see that Rabbi Yochanan calls Rav Asi to order. Why did he use the expression for diluting, use the word moschoi? He could have used a more common expression, mozgoi. Omar, so we turn now to the bracketed section. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rav Asi, if you're asking a question, ve'emo mozgo, you should have used this word, mem zayin gimel vav, in asking about the Gentiles diluting of the wine. Amalei. So Rav Asi says, if you want to know why I chose the word mozgo, he says, ano kidichtiv kamino. I use the word found in the scriptures. The word for dilution is, you see in the following pasuk, tovcho tovcho mozgo yena. And we've dashed underlined the word found in the pasuk. Amalei, Rav Yochanan said, Loshon Torah li'atzmo, Loshon Chachomim li'atzmo. The Torah has a vocabulary of its own. The sages have their own vocabulary. Namely, that since you're asking me a halachic question, you should have used the common rabbinic expression and not necessarily the word that's found in the scriptures. So, nevertheless, the question is raised, what about the acceptability of the wine that was the kosher wine that was diluted by the Gentile pouring water into the barrel? So Rabbi Yochanan answers, also the wine is forbidden, even though the Gentile didn't have actual contact with it, but nevertheless we impose a stringency, mishum lech lech amrin nazira, schor schor the karmelo tikrav. As we explained earlier, this expression indicates an imposition of a restriction, even though by letter of the law, it really is not a problem. If we look at the Rashi, there's a Rashi Osur. Rashi says, Afagav de lo noga, even though he didn't actually touch the wine, he just poured water into the wine. Gozu Rabbonon bekoichoi lesro b'shtia, the Rabbonon imposed a restriction when it comes to the case of force, of kocho, they restrict the drinking of the wine, mishum harchokas avera, to keep us distant from actual sin. Avol bahano vadai lo mitzar, but as far as banning it from any benefit, that is not the case. The lo odif, this is not any more severe, minegio al yadei dover acher shelo bekavona, than the case of the goy, the Gentile having contact with it through some intermediary vessel, utensil, without intent. Kiahu denoga b'lulivo b'chamro v'sharya rabbano, like the case we saw earlier on Daf Nun Zayin, where a Gentile touched wine with the tip of a lulav, and Rav allowed it to derive benefit from it. We have another story. Rav Yirmiya Ikla L'Savta. Savta is the name of a place. Rav Yirmiya visited this place. Chozoch Chamra Demazgi Oyvei Kichovim V'Ishti Yisrael Minei. He saw Jews drinking from wine that was diluted by Gentiles. V'Osar Luhu, and he forbade them from drinking the wine, very reminiscent of the Gemara just before, with the same reason. Mishum Lech Lech Amrin Nazira Schor Schor L'Kamar Lo Tikrav. Because of the need to create a distance. We want to ban their drinking of this, we'll call it kocho wine, so that we don't come to that, so don't allow them to, so they shouldn't come to a situation where they'll drink from actual contact, mago wine. Itmar Nami, Om Rabbi Yochanan. The Amri Lomer of Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. And similarly, we have Rabbi Yochanan, another version has Rav Asi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Yayin Shemozgoi Oyvei Kichovim, Osir. This is, in fact, the ruling we saw just above involving Rabbi Yochanan, and he bans it from drinking based on the same principle, mishum, because lech lech amrin nazira schor schor lekamar lo tikrav. We want to impose a gezera, a restriction. At this point, we see a new geometric form. We see a bow tie, and on the side we have a mivneh, a structural note. Shnei Maisim im Mivnim Domim. We'll see two incidents featured in the Gemara with similar structures. And we also have included a long marking. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a one in a bow tie with a vertical dashed line that follows, indicating that the length of the first incident goes till the upper part of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Following that, you have a number two, also with a vertical dashed line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating its length. So the first story, Rab Reish Lakish Ikla LeBatzra. Reish Lakish visits the town of Batzra. He notices a couple of things. Number one, Chozo Yisrael, the Koachli Peri de lo Masri, fi Asar Lehu. He sees Jews eating untithed fruits, and he forbids them. Chozo Maya the Sagdi Lahu Oivikichovim Vishosu Yisrael. He sees water that Gentiles are bowing to. Sagdi has to do with bowing, worship. They are bowing to this water. Jews are then drinking from the water, and he bans it. Also the Kame the Rabbi Yochanan. Rishalkish then comes to Rabbi Yochanan. Amale, Rabbi Yochanan comments and straightens out Reish Lakish. He disagrees with what he ruled and says, Ade maktorcha alach, while your coat is still on you, zil hadar, go back and reverse your rulings. Number one, Betzer lav hainu Botzra, you visited the town of Botzra. Botzra is not Betzer. In other words, Betzer is part of Eretz Yisrael, where there's an obligation to tithe. Botzra is not part of an area that needs to be, that the fruits there need to be tithed. Now you visited Botzra, but Botzra is not Betzer, hence there's no need for them to tithe. And number two, Umayim shel rabim ein nesorin, and public water, if they were bowing to water found in a stream that's running through a public area, that water cannot become forbidden. Rabbi Yochanan l'tame, Rabbi Yochanan in his ruling here is consistent with what he says elsewhere, the Yomar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Shimon in saying, Mayim shel rabim ein ne'esorin. Water that's in the public domain does not become forbidden. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.